First Kings chapter 17. I told them at the revival I was preaching last week, some time back, I was going through Nehemiah and Ezra and some through the historical points of the Old Testament. And I found it very, very impressive that when Ezra finally got the word of God back out again and began to read it, that the people, that remnant that was there, stood nearly a half a day, not for preaching, but for the reading of the Word of God. I was very impressed by that. And so tonight, if you'd like to join me on your feet in honor of the Word of God, you may do so now. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, speaking of Elijah, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, and I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God, you notice she didn't say my God, but thy God, liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but bring me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did accordingly to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which came by Elijah. I want you to notice in verse 10, Elijah asked for a little water. I want you to notice again in 13, he asked for a little cake. From these verses tonight, I would like to preach a message to you, the little things that God requires. You may be seated. The little things that God requires. When we think of such terminology as that, we imagine a huge, massive God that's got enough of power to speak universes into existence. But it's completely incredible that such a magnificent majesty of God can ask for such small things. We look at our narrative here. This is a historical point in the Old Testament. This is not a parable of the New Testament, but a historical point. Because of the sin of Israel, God, by the word of Elijah, has called a drought. Because of the sin that's there, God has removed his blessing. And God instructs Elijah to go by the brook Cherith. And there he commands ravens to feed Elijah, and Elijah is able to drink from the brook. And when the brook has been affected by the famine and it's dried up, then God speaks to Elijah again. And it seems to be more of a difficult, awkward account in the next setting, because we're leaving the brook and we're going to Zarephath. And he tells Elijah that I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. And that almost cuts you against the grain to think that this woman, whose husband's already gone, passed away, that it almost seems that God is imposing upon her to take care of his prophet. But I'm here to preach to you tonight that God doesn't think on the same level you and I do. God doesn't think on the same plateau or the same plane. God's idea of fairs doesn't always seem fair to us. And what seems fair to us is not always fair to God. And so we look at this text tonight, and sure enough, as Elijah begins to make his long journey from the brookside to Zarephath, that we see the prophet of God as he begins to approach the gate of that city. And in God's providential time, as he begins to lay piece by piece into order, it just so happens that while he's approaching the gate, that same widow woman that God was talking about there at the brook is coming to gather two sticks to make a fire, to kneal the dough, to bake a bread, and to die. And sometimes we look at this story, as I mentioned already, and we wonder, God, how could you impose on such a moment as this? But God is working for this lady. God is working for this home. God is working for this household. She just can't see it yet. You understand that when we take Bible stories, we see the start to finish version of it. We know the beginning, and we read the end, and sometimes we grasp a hold of that, you know, we know God's going to work, but for the people that's involved in the narrative, they don't always know the end of the story. They don't always know exactly how God's going to work it out. And so with that perspective, let us look in the character of this widow woman. Elijah asked her for water. Would you fetch me water? She's gathering sticks, so she has to stop what she's doing, and she has to acquire a pail or a bucket to go get water. But we find that there is no complaint from her. There is no quotations given of her that she says anything. And so she begins to make her journey to where the water is probably stored. Understand, it's a famine. It's a big deal already to be giving up water. It's a big deal already. It's the valuable life-giving water. It's a big deal. It's a sacrifice already. It could be water from her home that she's going after. We can't just write that off. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. But we find that she doesn't complain about the water. But as she turns to go get the water, and begins to make her journey to the place of storage, Elijah speaks up again, and he asks for a morsel of bread. Now we hear a response from her. Surely, I don't have but just a handful of meal, and there's a little oil in the cruse. I'm gathering these sticks. We're going to make a small cake, and then we're going to die. But Elijah begins to tell her, fear not, because if you'll do this, God's going to provide. God's going to make a way. And so sure enough, she heads to her place, no doubt, and takes that handful of meal and mixes it with the oil and begins to produce the little cake. If it was just a handful of meal that was all she had, then I would probably be safe in assuming that it took just about all of that meal to feed the prophet. And so we look at this tonight, and we wonder, how could this be? But if I could jump back into time and say, widow woman, I just want you to know, you may not understand what's going on now, but God's going to work for you. Just don't be afraid. You understand, it's just a little thing that God is asking. It's just a little thing that Elijah needs. Just give me a little water. Just give me a little cake. Now, if you would remove the element of the drought, If you would remove the element of water shortage, then we could all agree that just making a cake would be no big deal. It wouldn't be no big deal. It would surely be a small thing. It would be a small thing physically. And it would be a small thing to grasp a hold of mentally. But what made the difference about the cake was this. Was the circumstances that was around that cake. I want you to know that number one, there was a shortage of meal. And number two, there was plans. It was already made for that one small cake. I want to let you know tonight that maybe you're in a drought. Maybe you're dealing with things that's unpleasant. Maybe you come against things you thought you would never deal with. But I want you to know when you in those type of circumstances, when you in those types of environments, that there is little things that normally wouldn't bother you at all. But because of the environment and the situation that you are in, those little things become big things. Let me tell you, there's the drought of life. It comes to all of us. The ministry's been that's been going on around here this week has been reaching for people who are in drought. It's been reaching for people that's in need of revival. Preacher, how is it that I'm going to have revival? How is it that I'm going to make it through this drought? It's when you get willing to give God the little thing. When you get willing to give God the little thing that has got to be so big to you. When you get willing to give God the small thing that normally wouldn't be a big deal, but because of what you're dealing with right now and what you're going through right now, it has got huge to you because you've already got plans around it. You're already looking into the future. You have already reached a place that you're searching for closure and you're saying it's just going to be this way. I'm just going to ride it as long as it'll ride, and when it's done, I know what's going to happen to me. I will be finished. I will be through. It looks like this is my plot in life. This looks like my destiny. That it's only a matter of time before I walk in the doors the last time. It's only a matter of time before I make my last trip to the altar. It's only my last time. It's just down the road before I get anointed. Then to my last time. It's my last time. My last days. But I'm here to reach for you today. I'm here to beckon you today. Why don't you give God that cake? Why don't you give that God the cake of the despondency that's in your heart? Why don't you go home and get that meal of bitterness and mix it with the oil of hatred and make that cake and bring it to God? You can't afford to keep it. You can't afford to hold on to it. It's just a little things that God is wanting so you can live. The little things that God requires. You understand when we look at a drought. We look at a drought. There must be some characteristics of that type of devastation that we must draw from that and feed our hearts upon it. You understand that there's a lot of things of nature that will cause devastation. There are hurricanes. There are tornadoes. There is floods. There's earthquakes that happen quickly and they happen fast. And the destruction is a huge magnitude. But when you look at a drought, it doesn't happen fast. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen all of a sudden. But a drought happens over a progression of time. When there is a drought, the people of the land can still go through their motions. They can still go to the field and plow dirt. It's just dry dirt. They can still walk to a well and still pull some water until it's depleted. They can still go through the motions. They can still go out to the barn, but cattle's looking poor. The hip bones are sticking out, but they can still go through the motion of what food and water they got for the cattle and still feed it to them. Let me tell you something spiritually. When you headed down into that drought, there's a while that you still go through the motions. There's a while that you still come to the house of God. There comes a time you still come to your same pew. You may even walk up to the choir. You may even sing a special. But I'm here to tell you that when you are in a drought, you've got to be careful that you don't get satisfied with just going through the motions. I want to tell you, a drought may be slow, but its death is sure. You'll surely die and if you don't get some help. But what God is asking for you is the little things. He's wanting you to turn that to Him. The things that you're dealing with, that person that broke your heart 5 years ago, that person that destroyed your reputation 3 years ago, the one that bit you or stabbed you in the back, the ones that broke confidence in you, why don't you go to your house and make that cake and bring it to God? You can leave the meal there, you can leave the oil there, and you will die, not just you, but your son too. You understand, if it was just you that was affected, that would be one thing, but it's this lady's household. It's everybody that's dependent on her. Tonight I would like to encourage you, do whatever it takes to get a hold of God. Do whatever it takes to be obedient unto Him. The little things that God requires. A little water, just a little water. If it wasn't a drought, it wouldn't be no big deal. Just a little cake, a thing that starts small, a thing that starts little, normally wouldn't be no big deal, but further it goes into the drought, the bigger it gets. Let me tell you something. All of us no doubt deal with things as the devil and the foul spirits of hell pull at us. But do you want to know how you diminish the power of those things that are pulling on you? Is when you get to the place that you're willing to make the last cake for God. Lord, I don't care what it does, what I got to do, I'm drawing near to you. And when you begin to draw near to God, the pull of the world begins to diminish. It begins to shrink. If you let up on seeking on God, then those things that pull of you get stronger and stronger and stronger. But if you'll stay into God and focus on God and have a prayer life, it'll push the power of those things back down again. I'm telling you, I'm trying to reach for you. I'm trying to encourage you. Why don't you go and dig out those things that's a holding you back? You may have already got plans on it. Look, this widow woman has had a place of depression already. I'm getting my two sticks. I'm getting my oil and my meal. And I'm going to build me a fire and I'm going to eat and I'm going to die. That don't look too good to begin with. She even knows the spiritual condition. Already knows where she stands. And she has come to grips with that place. She's come to grips with it in such terms that she's willing to speak back to the prophet and said, this is what I'm going to do. Step one, step two, step three, and step four. And then I'm going to be through. But I'm here to tell you that you may not know what's going on, but God is providing an escape route for you. God is providing an escape route for you.
You may have already decided it's going to be a certain way, but why don't you give God a little room to work? Maybe you've already concluded, I'm too far gone. I've been messed up too bad. But I'm telling you, why don't you go make the cake and bring it to God? Maybe you've concluded that I'm so torn up on the inside, I don't believe there will ever be emotional healing for me. But why don't you go make the cake? I believe I'm just too messed up. I can't get a grip. I can't get a hold of it. But why don't you go make the cake? And let me tell you, when you get willing to give God all the things you're holding on in the inside, when you get willing to let it go and give it to God, there will be a season that the drought may still be happening, but your meal will keep on giving. The oil's going to keep on pouring until it rains again. But the little thing that's holding me back from getting complete victory in God, the little thing, just a handkerchief, don't cost much, just a little thing. I would go and sell out, but I don't want to let go of the cake. I've got my story, what's happened to me. It's the one I tell everybody that'll give me a half a minute to talk. It's the thing that I go to bed with at night. I get up with it in the morning. I'll take it to work with me. I'll take it to lunch with me. I'll bring it back home with me. I'll bring it to church. I'll take it away from the church. I'll bring it back home, go to bed with it. The little thing that God is asking of you. It may seem like a lot. It looks like that God is imposing on the widow woman, but it's just God's way of sustaining as she sustains the prophet. You understand that this widow woman has to get willing to change her mind. She has to get willing to change her plan. And what looks silly to her, she's got to get willing to do it. And whatever looks crazy to her, she's got to get willing to do it. And whatever frustration that has rose up in her because of what the prophet is asking, she's got to overcome it. Whatever anger that she may have towards God for allowing the famine to come, she's got to willing to go bake it. Whatever is holding her back from going to where she needs to be with God, she's got to get willing to give God that small, small, small. Back 2 years ago when you was on fire for God, what you dealing with now wasn't no big deal. But now that you've been hurt like you've been hurt, this little thing's about to kill you. I was praying last night. I was praying today. I felt like God began to deal with my heart. I feel like I need to tell someone in this audience today that you are definitely in a drought. You're in a drought. I also feel like I need to tell you that your drought's not over yet. You've got some more drought that you got to go through. But I also feel like I need to tell you that if you get willing to give God that cake, that God's going to supply the strength. He's going to keep pouring the oil. And he's going to supply the meal that he's going to last you till the drought is over. I just feel like I need to tell you that. This circumstances may not change. Everything may look the same around you. But God can change you. He can settle the storm that's raging on the inside. But you got to get willing to go God's plan and not yours. One of the hardest things you'll ever give to God is yourself. The devil is our enemy. I preached some of this the other week. The devil is our enemy, Pastor. He is our enemy. But probably your greatest enemy is you. It's you. My greatest is probably me. It's probably me. So, preacher, what is it that I need to go home and bake? It's time to pour, get the vessel and pour me out. I need to get the cruise of oil and pour me out. Let me tell you something. If she had to use all the meal to make the prophet's cake, then she had to start out with an empty barrel for God to begin working with. Sometimes in our vessels, it's time to turn it upside down and empty out all that's on the inside. Empty out all the remnants of what used to be. Turn it upside down. Shake it. Wipe it out. And say, God, now it's a vessel that's clean. Now it's a cruise of oil that's clean. Or a cruise to pull it all in. Maybe it's time to empty your barrel tonight. And go ahead and make the cake. And when you go to start making your cake, then's when God's going to begin to supply the meal. I want you to know that you're not alone. I want you to know that God hadn't allowed a famine to come and just leave you out there. He's making a way for you so you can go through it. You understand that God has the ability to step in the middle of your famine and cause a flood. God has the ability to step in the middle of your dry fields and raise up crops. He has the ability to turn the rains on if he so chooses. But God doesn't always work in that manner. Sometimes he wants to show you he is God. And he wants to show you that when your barrel is empty, he can put meal in it. When your oil is run out, oil symbolizes the Holy Ghost. That when you get yourself emptied out of the cruise, that thing will be empty so the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost can begin to be filled on the inside. Are you going to be able to smile in your drought? Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. You're going to be able to smile because God's going to give you meal so you can keep on eating. Are you going to be able to shout the victory in your trial? Yes, you are. Because God's going to sustain you in the middle of your trial. All right. Are you going to be able to get anointed in the midst of your trial? Absolutely. You're going to be able to get anointed. Why? Because once you get emptied of you, it's going to be God that you're full of. Circumstances may remain the same. Everything on the outside may look exactly the same. But God's about sustaining you. He may not change your circumstances, but he will change you. The little things. Little meal. Just a little. And the only difference it made in it was just the circumstances that was around it. That's what made it a big deal. Small things. Small. God, I would sell out and answer the call, but God, I'd go on and consecrate and get sold out. But I would go on and God, lay aside what you want me to lay aside. But my small thing. The small thing that your buddy probably don't even think there's anything wrong with. The small thing that maybe the pastor don't even think anything wrong with it. But God, knowing your nature and how you are, is giving you a personal conviction. Small thing. But I got to survive. I got to survive. Would you stand? How awful it would be, y'all. How awful it would be to die trying to hang on a little meal when God's ready for you to empty the barrel so he can fill it up again. To die the death of old meal. To die the death of old oil. When God was on the very verge. Listen to me. When God was on the very verge. When God is standing ready to fill up your barrel if you're willing to empty it. That's right. Every time you dipped in it, there's always some there to dip. The little thing. Nobody may know about it, but you do. You know that your victory ain't like it used to be because it's the little thing. It's the little thing. I cried over this today. I prayed about this today. I don't want this camp meeting to close and you leave with that same meal that you came with. I don't want the doors to shut and the lights go out and you still suffering with the drought and your meal's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Just a little thing, y'all. Just a little thing. It's just got huge because you're in a drought. Because your drought has got your mind maxed out, stressed out, that you're looking in all kind of directions trying to find relief. You better be careful. Listen to me. The little things that God wants so He can bless you. Would you consider what I've preached to you tonight? It's not the will of God for you to die and perish. He may have allowed you to have the drought, but it's not His will for you to perish. And He's going to provide a way to you for you to survive until the rains start to fall again. I want you to know it's going to rain again. I want you to know the water's going to fall again. I want you to know that rain clouds are going to gather again. But until then, you need to empty your barrel so God can help you. Tonight, the altars are open. God, I'm emptying me out. I'm pouring me out, God. I'm pouring me out so you can fill me back up.